Let's pray together.
Father God, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. We ask that you open hearts and minds even now as we look together at the resurrection of your Son. May we have a glimpse of its transforming power. Would your Holy Spirit open spiritual eyes this morning, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. According to a recent survey, a quarter of Christians in the UK do not believe in the resurrection. A quarter of Christians in the UK do not believe in the resurrection. Now, I don't know what the statistics are for Australia or America, but I tend to think it's not too far from that. And I think this explains why we see such an increase in depression these days. 3 million Australians live with depression and anxiety. For those who identify as Christians and yet do not believe in the resurrection, what is there for us in this life? When you cut the resurrection out of Christian faith, you have nothing left but dead religion. For it is only through the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus from the grave that sets Christianity apart from all other religions who worship dead gods. The entire Western civilization rose and rests on the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You remove the power of the resurrection and you will end up with a hopeless world, hopeless lives, hopeless culture, and hopeless people. And yet Jesus' resurrection has all the power to fill empty voids, to overcome loneliness, to strengthen the weak, to lift the discouraged, and to uphold the faint-hearted. In the Gospel of Luke, which was read to us this morning, we see how the power of the resurrection of Jesus transforms loneliness and hopelessness and despair into joy and vision and mission and a purposeful life. Only the risen Christ can transform. Only the risen Christ can transform depression, discouragement, dislocation, anxiety, and fear into joy and courage and freedom from anxiety and fear. The two disciples that Luke tells us about were living on what I would call the wrong side of Easter until they encountered the risen Christ. These two disciples from Emmaus are like so many misguided people who claim to be Christians. These two disciples believed in Jesus. They not only believed in the crucifixion of Jesus, they probably saw it. They not only believed in Jesus, they followed Jesus. They not only believed in the teaching of Jesus, they were witnesses of the teaching of Jesus. They not only liked going to church, they were the church. But they remained on the wrong side of Easter. Listen, not experiencing the power of the resurrection caused them hopelessness and despair and discouragement. I wonder how many of us who still do that today, 2,000 years after the historical fact of the resurrection, we can get so caught up in our circumstances. We can get so focused on our own fears and failures in life. We can get so stuck on our needs and our wants. We can get so wrapped up in our own self-pity that we miss out on living in and by the power of the resurrection. Well, let me tell you about these two disciples in Luke chapter 24. They were from a town called Emmaus. Emmaus is 11 kilometers from Jerusalem. And so these disciples made the 11-kilometer trek to Jerusalem to witness a joke of a trial, of a man that they hoped was their Messiah. But instead of delivering the Jews from the Roman occupation, their Messiah was crucified. And then after witnessing the bloody crucifixion, they remained in Jerusalem for a few more days, and then they lost all hope. They hid themselves, and then they got thoroughly depressed. This emotional state of hopelessness blinded them to the fact that the resurrected Jesus was walking and talking with them. This emotional state of discouragement erased their memory of the countless times that Jesus told them that he would rise again. Let's look at this together, Luke 24. I want to show you three things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ can accomplish for you today. First, the resurrection of Jesus challenges our false assumptions. It corrects our faulty information. And finally, it converts our pain into power. The resurrection of Jesus challenges our false assumptions. Most often what causes discouragement and aimlessness in life is faulty assumptions. I've had them, you have had them. For instance, my wife is pregnant, but if she wasn't and you had assumed that she was, let's just say you would walk away discouraged. These two disciples from Emmaus waited in Jerusalem until the third day. Why the third day? There was a Jewish myth at the time back then that said that a person's soul hovers over the body for 3 days prior to its departure. So when the third day came and they did not see anything happen, they headed back home in discouragement and hopelessness. I have seen it. Most likely you have seen it. Most of us have probably experienced it at some point in our lives. When we build a case in our heads based on false assumptions and we get depressed and discouraged when it all falls apart. How many of us have placed hopes in material possessions only to discover just how fleeting they are? How many have placed their dreams on wrong information only to see those dreams shattered? How many have placed their securities in someone who let them down? How many have put their trust in someone or something only to be betrayed? Whatever your false assumptions are, today the resurrected Jesus tells us that only the power of his resurrection is everlasting. Only hope in him can never be taken away. Only joy, the joy that he gives is permanent. Only the strength in him is enduring. The two disciples from Emmaus placed their hope on a myth. And when it did not materialize in time, they lost hope and became discouraged, so much so that they failed to recognize that the cross, which was the very object that shattered their dreams, was in fact God's instrument of redemption. That the pouring out of Jesus' blood on the cross was the road to the power of the resurrection. That the rugged cross, that God's instrument of bringing eternal life to all who would place their whole faith and trust in Jesus, that the very tomb that buried Jesus only for 3 days is the permanent burial ground for sin and guilt and shame for all who believe in Jesus. Crosses and tombs and blood are not things that we would assume would bring salvation. They're not things that we associate with triumph and victory. And so the resurrection challenges our false assumptions, which gets us into so much trouble. Second, the resurrection of Jesus corrects our faulty information, which also leads to discouragement. Forbes magazine said that one of the six main reasons that leaders make bad decisions is when decisions are based on partial information. Sometimes the most dangerous people are those who have partial information. We had a family friend a number of years ago who was unwell and had to go to the hospital for treatment and observation. And one of their children was a second-year medical student. And they kept telling the doctor, "I think you should do this. I don't think that's the right thing. I think he needs this." Finally, the doctor, who was a family friend, pulled them aside and said, "Listen, you are very dangerous because you only have partial information." After Jesus listened to these two disciples and saw that their problem was their faulty information, was their faulty and partial information, Jesus began to correct them. Look at verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Today we have some very dangerous people, even in churches. And they cause people countless amounts of pain simply because they have faulty, partial information about Jesus. I hear people say that I feel that God is so good that he won't let anyone go to hell. Or I feel that God is so this, I feel that God is so that. There are even clergy who have faulty information and they are leading people straight towards hell. Who are these dangerous people? I'm glad you asked. They are those who say that there are many ways to God, when God says there is only one way. That is why God sent Jesus, his Son, from heaven to redeem all those that come to him through that one way. If there were many ways to God, why on earth did Jesus leave the splendors of heaven? Why on earth did Jesus die on a cross? Why on earth did Jesus rise from the dead on the third day? Some of those dangerous people say God does not care about morality. God does not care about how I live my life. God does not care about my relationships as long as I am sincere. And today, just as it was on the first day of that resurrection, the resurrected Jesus wants to correct your faulty information. Why? Because he loves you. The very reason that you are here today, the very reason that you are hearing this message today, is because God wants to eternally save you. And you cannot be saved when you are holding on to faulty information. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Any other idea of God and salvation is faulty. Now, these two disciples should have known better. Why? Because their Bible, the scriptures from the Old Testament, from cover to cover, speak of the coming death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. And furthermore, they heard it from Jesus' own lips. But in their preoccupation with their circumstances, they decided to live by faulty information, which led them to depression. I trust that the Lord is opening hearts today, not only to hear his truth about Jesus, but to begin to believe in it. And after believing it, you act on it. How? by giving your life to Him. And when you do that, the resurrected Jesus will take you from wherever you are in your life and will give you a renewed vision and a renewed mission in your life. The resurrected Jesus challenges our false assumptions. The resurrected Jesus corrects our faulty information. Finally, the resurrected Jesus wants to move us from pain to power. Verses 30 and 31, which were not read for us, this is what they, how they read. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. When you invite the resurrected Jesus to be your only Savior and Lord, he does not just hang out with you when you want him to. When he comes into your life, he takes over. And I realize that that is a problem for many. Most people want to be totally in control of their own lives. We want to be captains of our own ship. We want to be masters of our own fate. But listen, you have never truly experienced true joy, true contentment, true peace until you have surrendered to the resurrected Jesus. Indeed, when the resurrected Jesus takes over your life, as he has done in my life, he turns your meaningless life into a purpose-filled life. He turns your defeated life into a victorious life. He turns your joyless life into a joyful life. He turns your powerless life into power with God. In fact, these two discouraged, depressed, and disappointed disciples, once they recognized the resurrected Jesus, they moved from fear to courage. They moved from pain to power. They moved from hopelessness to eternal hope. They moved from depression to mission. Because they immediately got up and made that 11-kilometer dangerous trek back to Jerusalem. Why? So that they could share the good news of the resurrection with the other disciples. The resurrected Jesus can transform your life today if you invite him in. If you invite him in. If there is someone here today who still has false perceptions about who Jesus is, I want you to listen to verse 27. For you must understand that Jesus is not just the founder of a religion. Jesus did not just pop up on the scene and then Jesus did not just vanish. Jesus is the creator of the universe. Jesus is the only one who rose from the dead, never to die again. Jesus is the only Messiah that all past generations have waited for. Jesus was promised by God the Father thousands of years before he was born of a virgin. What did he explain to them? What did he say to them about these prophecies about himself in the Old Testament? He explained that he was the true and better Adam, who passed the test in the garden and whose righteousness is now credited to us. He explained that he is the true and better Abraham, who answered the call of God to leave all the comfort and familiarity of home, creating a new people of God. He explained that he is the true and better Isaac, who is not just offered by his father, but sacrificed by his father, and who gave his life up willingly. He explained that he is the true and better Jacob, who wrestled and took the blow of justice that we deserved. He explained that he is the true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed him and sold him and uses his new power to save them. He explained that he is the true and better Moses, who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant. He explained that he is the true and better rock of Moses, who was struck with the rod of God's justice, now gives us water in the desert. He explained that he is the true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer who then intercedes for us and saves his friends. He explained that he is the true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, even though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. He explained that he is the true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm and into the deep so that we could be brought in. He explained that he is the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true temple, the true sacrifice, the true lamb, the true light, the true bread. I want to show those of you who have had faulty information about Jesus that you need vision correction. He is not one of many. He is Jesus the only. He is the only one who can save and redeem you from eternal judgment. Because Jesus is who he says he is. That in itself demands a verdict from you. Accept him and receive the blessing of salvation, or reject him and bear the consequences of your rejection. In this incident, we see three openings. Jesus opened the scripture. The Holy Spirit opened their spiritual eyes, and God the Father opened their understanding. When God opens your understanding, the Word of God will challenge your false assumptions. The Word of God will correct your faulty information. And above all today, God will convert you from pain to power and purpose. I'll take these last few seconds to say that if any of you have any doubts or you have any questions, I want to invite you to come back tomorrow night. There's a little box in your handout. This is a Christianity Condensed class. If you're visiting, if you've a friend has brought you here, I'd ask that they would come with you. Come together. Come tomorrow night. If you have questions, we want to answer your questions. We want you to know Jesus of the Bible who saves and redeems. It's not a long thing. It'll be a short class together, but I promise you, you will never, never, never regret it. Will you pray with me as we close? Father, we are all from different walks of life here. We're all in different age and stage of life. But you have brought us all together this morning to hear the good news of the resurrection. Father, would you move in us to open our hearts to you, to allow you to come and challenge our false assumptions, to come and correct our faulty information, to come and convert our pain into power. No matter our circumstances, we now know that the victory is in Jesus and Jesus alone. For we pray all this in his name. Amen.